Good morning and welcome to the FTS Bet Slip book review for Thursday, the 28th of March, 2024. So this is, I'm going to do a few book review podcasts. I've done one or two already, but I'm going to try and be a bit more regular with these now. And I am going to do fictional books and books I've used in trading and mindset. So I'm going to do two books today. I'm going to start off with my favourite fictional book of all time. And I'm just going to give you a little pricey of that and why I enjoyed it, and then we'll go into a trading book for the second review, and I'll talk about what that involves and how that helped me. So the first fictional book that I'm going to review is Catch 22. This is a cracking novel written back in the 60s, 1961, by Joseph Heller. It is an anti-war masterpiece. Lots of layers to it: satire, dark humour, the absurdity of the sort of bureaucratic operation within the military, and it kind of sort of set a stage of being a sort of critique of war and the institutions that that propagate it. It revolves around a group of American airmen stationed on a fictional island called Pianosa, off the coast of Italy during World War II. It's got some cracking characters in it. I found it, as I say, a lot of dark humour. I think I've read it three times, and I read it when I was quite young, about 15, 16, and it sort of shaped some of my thinking, I'm certain. It's sort of an episodic structure. I found it really captivating, but it does offer a sort of, what would you call, a sort of a fairly robust biting commentary on the madness of war and the struggle of the individual against what is an indifferent system. And obviously the name of the book led us to a daily phrase that we use now. So at the heart of Catch 22 is the paradoxical rule that known as Catch 22, which in the book it says that a pilot can be grounded if he is insane. So you've got these airmen stationed off the coast of Italy, and they can be grounded if they are declared insane. But applying to be grounded on the grounds of insanity proves that one is sane. So the main character is a Captain John Yossarian. He's desperate to survive, wants to not go up in the air and get blown out, wants to return home. So he comes up with this, that I can be grounded if I'm insane. But by him going and telling people that he's insane, they say, well, if you know that, then you've got to be sane. So he encounters this sort of absurd military life and the bureaucracy through it to try and escape the war. And as he goes through, he becomes more frantic and cunning. You know, he's disillusioned with the war, and his main goal is to preserve his own life. And he highlights the absurdity of that situation, that you know, that is the premise of the book, that applying to be, you can only be grounded if you're insane, but applying to be grounded on the grounds of insanity proves that one is sane. So you've got him, Yossarian, cracking character, for me one of the best fictional characters of all time. You've then got a Colonel Cathcart, who's an ambitious officer obsessed with gaining promotion through increasing the number of missions required for his men to complete their service. So they keep just putting the number of missions up that they've got to fly. Milo Mindbender, who's a war profiteer. He represents the capitalist exploitation of war, showing no allegiance to any country, but you know, just a principle beyond profit. And then when we look at wars today, there's many theories that there's lots of people who actually like war because of the money that they create, you know, tremendous money in defence spending and arms and weapons. And you'd be completely naive to try and sort of think that doesn't go on. There are people, of course, who will be out there stoking up war propaganda because they can profit off it. And that's sort of an early look into that back in, you know, remember this is back in the 60s, 1961. The squadron's flight surgeon, who he's the one who introduces Yossarian to The concept of Catch-22, his character highlights the helplessness of individuals within the system trapped by this sort of circular logic where you just go round. And then a character called Major, who was promoted, who was an officer who was promoted to Major by an administrative error, and his storyline sort of takes a satirical look at the absurdity of promotion and rank within the military. The story isn't linear, they jump back and forth in time. Again, for me, mirrors the sort of chaotic nature of war. But it allows the author Joseph Heller to explore the characters' past and present simultaneously, sort of revealing their complexities and their motivations and their experiences as the story unfolds. It is funny. It's a comedic novel. It does, as I say, it gives way to darker themes and the sort of horror and senselessness of war. And I'm one of those, you know, when I scale war right back to wars at home, you know, I'm talking arguments and things between people. They never really go anywhere. And, you look at what's happening now at the minute in Gaza and Israel. What's the solution to it? I don't know what the solution to it. I don't think anybody does. We can have all the votes around the world on ceasefires and things. Netanyahu isn't interested. And it's just, for me, it just is a tragic, tragic loss. I'm not taking sides. What happened on October the 7th is horrendous. But the absurdity of it all, when you look from afar, what does it actually achieve? You look at the war in Afghanistan. What did that actually achieve? People went to Afghanistan. The Taliban are back in. Girls' rights and things have been taken. What does it all achieve? Iraq, you know, we've lived through a fair few. In our period, it is a cracking novel. It really is. It's one I could pick up tomorrow again and start reading. When it first came out, it received mixed reviews, but I think it's now, you know, it's studied in schools. It's recognised as a sort of landmark in modern American literature. It's innovative, profound. Moral questions are asked. Got that dichotomy of ludicrous and tragic, the rational and absurd, and it challenges you to consider the price of sort of freedom and the nature of sanity and the absurdity of authority. And as I say, it's then gone on to become used in English language. We use it now for a no-win situation, so where rules contradict each other. It's applied in everyday context, so it's had a far-reaching effect beyond the book itself and the literature. As I say, some of the absurdity that's raised in the novel is exactly the same as what is going on now. So it isn't just and what I like about it, and I think it's because I like how the human mind works. It's not a novel. You might pick up the cover. I don't know what, you know, I've got an old copy. I don't know what the cover would say now, but it may say that it's a novel about war. It's not a novel about World War II. It is a exploration of human condition, authority, and the absurdity of war. It's got memorable characters, cracking humour. I think it's really relevant to how we live and countries are governed and things today, and the nature, particularly now, of people seeking to diminish humanity. And it is an absolute cracking novel, and without doubt, and I'm going to cover some good fictional novels in this, but this would be my number one. So if you haven't read it and you like reading, go and get yourself Catch-22 by Joseph Heller. And I'd be, with all these book reviews, one, great to know what you think. If you've read it, let me know what you thought. And if you do go ahead and read it, let me know. And I'm a great one for everybody should read more. Put your phones down, turn your TVs off, bit of music on, sit and read. It's a cracking way to relax, and far more educational for me than TV. Right, so that's Catch-22. I'm now going to move on to what is probably my favourite book on trading, and that is Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, published in 2000, and it is, whilst it's aimed at financial trading. It is a foundational text for me in the field of sort of trading psychology. He dives into the psychological aspects of trading, helping people to sort of achieve what we all need, mental clarity. And it's called Trading in the Zone, getting in the zone, sort of emotional neutrality, being able to make decisions based on what the market is telling you, what you're, you know, in sports trading, what your numbers are telling you, rather than being influenced by fear, greed, or other emotions. I think if you're a trader, it's a book everybody should read. And make notes. I've got a copy. I've had numerous, I had an electronic copy and then bought a paper copy, and I've made notes of it. A lot of the stuff I've talked about in the mindset pods would have been extensions from this book. And it is how those lessons that he teaches can move into what we do within sports trading, but I think in other areas as well. What's it about? He emphasises the importance of psychology in trading, arguing that financial success is more independent on one's mindset than on specific trading skills or technical skills. You know, as I'm reading this review to you that I've written out, these are lines I hear myself saying to you. And you've got to build a mental framework necessary to trade in what are uncertain markets. We don't know what's going to happen. We need to embrace risk. I've talked about that many times. But we've got to not fall prey to these psychological pitfalls, chasing, changing our process, fear, greed, whatever it may be. He sort of has some main lessons and key principles. The probabilistic nature of markets teaches that the market is inherently uncertain and that each trade is merely a probability of winning or losing. And you must embrace that and start to think in probabilities, detaching from the outcome of any single trade. I think that's one of the sort of that line there that I've just read from my notes, I think is one of the most important lines in trading. The importance of a positive mental attitude. So a trader's attitude, I firmly believe in myself. That's why I've done this review. Significantly impacts their success. So Douglas asserts that traders must believe in their ability and maintain confidence in their trading plan. Concept of the four primary trading fears. So these are things, again, I've talked about. Fear of loss. People worry about that. Fear of missing out, FOMO, talked about that many times. Fear of being wrong, and fear of leaving money on the table. So closing for too small a profit, things like that would be relevant in ours. And they're identified as the primary fears affecting traders, and we need to overcome those fears. To overcome those fears is a psychological issue. It's nothing to do with the sheets or anything you're looking at. Developing a trading edge, this would be our system building, set of factors that give trader a probabilistic advantage in the market. And that's just the, how do you build your system? A lot of football traders try and do far too much, try and overfit things and overfilter things. I've been saying recently, two or three things with a small edge executed religiously is far better, consistently applying that, and then have a look at the end of the season. Does anything need tweaking slightly, and move it? The necessity of self-discipline and responsibility. Traders must take full responsibility for their trading decisions and outcomes. Self-discipline in following a trading plan. He goes into detail on that. And learning from both your wins and your losses, your successes and your failures, is a key to long-term improvement and success. And then the role of consistency. So consistency in applying a trading strategy, and that will allow for the law of large numbers to work. So, I've used this when I'm talking to you guys about a week doesn't matter, a month doesn't matter, a year doesn't matter. It's a constant battle I have trying to get people to see that, because we everybody's so used to everything at the minute is instant, living in the moment. Everybody wants everything not now, they want it that second or yesterday. And when they want a football bet, they want that bet there, they want it to win, and if not, then they're there. But he tries to explain that you've got to get into a rhythm and let this law of large numbers play out, and that's probably my biggest battle with people. So they are the sort of six rules that he goes through: probabilistic nature of the markets, importance of a positive mental attitude, concept of four primary trading fears, developing your edge, the necessity of self-discipline and responsibility. And, you know, I say that this applies to life. People just don't take responsibility for anything anymore. It's always someone else's fault. And the role of consistency. Is it for everybody? I believe so. I think newbie traders, people who've never done it, it would serve as a foundation for developing that right mindset before you dive in. Again, I think people dive in too quickly. So, you'd get these sort of thought processes in place first. For experienced traders, you know, even including myself, I still flick back through the book at notes I've made. It reiterates the importance of the psychological factors we need to ultimately perform at the top level. That's what you want to do. We all fall victim to losing periods aren't fun, emotional decisions, complacency, and I think this book serves as a reminder to help you cultivate that psychological edge and keep going. And as I say, for me it's not just down to financial trading. I think it applies in all high-pressure decision-making environments, be it people in your job. You know, I know people in high-pressure jobs who would benefit from some of this stuff, sports trading, financial markets, whatever it may be. But anything where you're working, really, and particularly where you've got financial implication, the ability to think in probabilities, manage emotions, you know, even for your home life, managing your emotions, maintaining discipline, applying constant routines, all these things will impact how you live your life and improve your performance. And developing that psychological resilience. And I think that's one of my key strengths. And, I read this book 15, 16 years ago for the first time. And I think that's one of the things it does. It's built up that resilience and focusing on learning from your mistakes. And we all make them, and focusing on the bigger picture and the longer term where you want to be. When I used to write a lot of blog posts, and I used to use that phrase quite a lot, longer term, and I'm not saying I got that exact phrase. I think he uses the phrase long-term goals, but longer term. And people just used it as an excuse. Oh, you're just pushing it down the road. No, I'm not. That's how you've got to think. If you want to be successful in this game, you've got to think not what's happening now. You've got to think 5 years down the line and put processes in place to get you to where you want to be. And that's what I kind of do all the time. So in summary, it's... I think it's an invaluable insight into psychological challenge of what I do and what you perhaps are looking to do. And I think by embracing the principles within it, thinking in probabilities, emotional management and emotional intelligence, which is really key, discipline, consistency, developing your edge, and exercising that, executing it consistently, both novices and experiences and experienced traders will improve their performance. And as I say, I do think that the lessons can be taken in other aspects of your life where you perhaps need to sort of acquire quick, high-stake decision-making. I don't think it shows you just how to be a better trader, but how to adopt a good mindset towards success and, you know, in a world of uncertainty. And that is a skill of immense value in all walks of life. So that is the two books for this week, Catch 22 and Trading in the Zone. I will sometime over the next week, just got a lot on with Sam's brother passing, unfortunately, last week. I will put these up in a written version. I'll get the notes into typed out into a blog post, so there'll be a written version for those of you who would want to refer back to it and just skim through that. But two books. One, everybody should read more. Two, you should try and get something out of a book. Both these books I got something out of, and I think Trading in the Zone is one that you should have a hard copy and make notes in. And Catch 22 is just a fantastic book to read, as I say. So I hope you enjoyed those. Let me know in the FTS Telegram room. Let us know by email. Let us know on Twitter. If you read the books, please come back to me. If you think it's rubbish, that's fine. Come back to me and let me know your thoughts.